Chippewa Falls, W228 P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Harris is gearing up to rally thousands of voters in Atlanta with just weeks to go till the Democratic convention. CBS's Finn Gomez tells us she's still vetting running mates.
She has not had her official interviews with these top contenders yet, which is, we are being told, is going to happen in the next couple days.
The Senate passed its first major effort in decades today to hold tech companies accountable for any harm caused to young users. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It ensures that social media companies have a duty to ensure their products do not cause harm to kids and teens.
And lots of American pride today at the Paris Olympics after Team USA scored another gold in the women's all-around gymnastics event. Jason Knight was there from Washington, D.C.
When Simone did that last routine, I just couldn't believe it. My whole body was on fire with just happiness and excitement.
Team USA also advanced to the quarterfinals of the men's soccer tournament, beating Guinea 3-0. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The money Wisconsin makes on sales taxes just had one of the biggest year-to-year drops since sales tax revenue dropped 2.3% in March compared to March of last year. The report says people are spending less due to high prices. Voters to vote no on two proposed constitutional amendments on August 13th. They'd prevent the governor from allocating federal money for the state without approval from lawmakers. Democrats say the questions are intentionally confusing, and the amendment would slow down help in an emergency.
Critical federal emergency funds could get stuck in gridlock in Madison rather than reaching first responders and the communities that are at risk.
State Party Chair Ben Wickler. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding eligible hunters to apply for the Gun Deer Hunt for Hunters with Disabilities. According to a press release, this year's hunt will take place between October 5th and 13th, and interested hunters should contact the DNR to confirm a location with a hunt landowner sponsor by September 15th. The program gives hunters with disabilities the chance to hunt in a place that's more easily accessible for them, with landowner sponsors willing to open up their properties. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers visited Eau Claire on Monday, urging residents to vote no on two proposed constitutional amendments on the August 13th primary ballot. The amendments would take away the governor's sole power to distribute federal funds across the state. Governor Evers and State Representative Jody Emerson say that power is essential in emergencies like during the COVID-19 pandemic, and accused state Republicans of using the August primary ballot to take advantage of typically low voter turnout rates. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Trade deadline coming up tonight. And the Brewers sending outfielder Joey Weimer and pitcher Jacob Junis to the Reds for right-hander Frankie Montas. 9 years in the big leagues, 19 starts this year for Cincinnati, an ERA that started out at 3.56 but has risen into the fives. Meanwhile, just as the crew gets back Devin Williams as the closer, Trevor McGill goes on the 15-day IR. Manager Pat Murphy.
Breaking news, Trevor McGill on the IL. Lower back. He's been dealing with it for about 5 days. He'll get an MRI this afternoon. That's the way the cookie crumbles, man.
Brewers last night with a nice 8-3 win at home over the Braves. Home runs by Hoskins, Adames, Churio. NFL Packers back on the practice field today in Green Bay. The Badgers football team begins training camp for the next 2 weeks at UW-Platteville.
Well, I think it's first and foremost, it's about getting away. To really get them to, you know, get to know each other and a lot of things even a little deeper.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with maybe a stray storm or two. Lows upper 60s to 70. Mainly sunny tomorrow, a pop-up storm in the afternoon and evening. Hot and humid with a high in the upper 80s to 90. More storms, heat, and humidity for Thursday. Currently, it's 87.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A lot of people, I think, are going to be seeing Twisters this weekend. I mean, the movie.
Welcome to Merlot with the Movies. So without spoilers, what did you think?
I actually really, really, really loved it. When it came down to the science, what they were talking about, the tips and tricks, I was impressed. It really helps, too, with people that are scared of storms. If you do want the full effect, see it in theaters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Pat Kreitlow of Up North News is in the guest host chair and a great conversation with Trigby Olson, the Lincoln Project. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home
this
for Up North News
is
Radio.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, live from the State Street headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah, we were here last night too, and now I am so excited because Jess, our producer, is live in Madison. Jess, what do you think of Madison?
Madison's great, but the really, really cool thing was I got to give you a hug. Oh my goodness, meeting you for the first time in person.
Perfect. It was awesome. You know, say, you know, we were talking about that last night. It's like, yeah, Jess, if you've been watching on YouTube, if you've been watching on Facebook, if you've been watching on Twitter, you have been able to see Jess and Johnny. Johnny's not here tonight. We said we gave Johnny a break here until Thursday. But Jess and I have finally met for the first time, our producer. And Jess, I think I'm more excited that I met you than you were excited that you met me.
Nah.
Oh, Jess, but no, welcome, 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 everybody. Great for listening. Great for tuning in. Jess, number one, remind people, we found out today we're at the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference. Download the Civic Media app if you want to make sure you know what's going on.
Absolutely. You are always going to get excellent, excellent sound quality, and it is the easiest way to call or text in to join the show.
Exactly. So get that Civic Media app, download it that way too. Busted Pencils. We always point out too, in Finland, that's how they listen to Busted Pencils, is with the Civic Media app. People are like going, he's just making that up. No, actually, we have listeners in Finland who love our show, because guess what? In Finland, they have always been proponents of incredibly powerful public education. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Jess, the other great thing, though, too, is just to remind everybody, we are so incredibly excited to always announce at the beginning of the show, the end of the show, Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. Minocqua Brewing Company, they are absolutely incredible supporters of public education. They sued the state of Wisconsin to end that voucher program. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com so you can figure out where you can buy their progressive beer and actually all of their progressive supporting items, t-shirts, coffee mugs, you name it, that's there. Special though, welcome. I gotta say, we've got a guest tonight, Jess, that we have been so lucky. In fact, I got to meet Dr. Joe Gothard. I'll just say it's Dr. Joe Gothard, the new superintendent of Madison Metropolitan School District. Dr. Gothard and I met years ago when I was originally at Edgewood College as the dean of the School of Education. I got introduced to Dr. Gothard as one of Edgewood's most proud alumni, who's the superintendent at the St. Paul School District in Minnesota. Got to go up there, meet you, have a great talk, and I found out, though, in the time that I've now left Madison and gone to Ohio, all of a sudden, though, you're like, hey, Tim, do you remember when you went up to see Dr. Gothard? I was like, yeah, yeah. We got him in Madison. Dr. Joe Gothard, welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Thank you, Tim. Great to see you and glad to be here.
Really appreciate you coming in. So this is a homecoming for you. Explain, sitting there, we've got all kinds of questions, but homecoming, I mean, truly, you're a Madison born and raised. Tell us your story.
Yeah, well, it goes back to, yes, being born and raised here. My five siblings and I went through Elvium Senate La Follette High School and wasn't quite ready for college right after high school. So I went for a short time and returned to Madison. And Dr. Mike Meissen, a friend and a mentor of mine, encouraged me to apply for an education assistant position in the Madison Metropolitan School District. So I did.
Okay.
And in 93, I became an EA at Lincoln Elementary School, and the rest is really history. I had so many colleagues and mentors, people I looked up to, tap me on the shoulder and push me to continue to strive for bettering myself and bettering the community. So went back to Edgewood College,
yeah.
My first degree of three.
Right.
Got my bachelor's in secondary education and biology, taught and coached at La Follette High School, became a principal at Tokyo Middle School, and then back at La Follette. I had my master's degree by then. And then President Dan Carey at Edgewood encouraged me through a relationship we had to start my doctorate work.
Nice.
Had never thought about being a superintendent, never thought about, you know, having a doctorate as a one-time college dropout. And you know, it's really quite amazing that when I think back on all the times I could have, turned to the right or the left or given up, it was this community that helped lift me up and that hasn't been forgotten. And this homecoming is extra special because of that.
So it's really a homecoming then. I mean, this is absolutely home for you.
It is. And I have to say that, you know, in 2012, I did apply for the Madison job. I was a semifinalist that interviewed and did not get it. And it's probably the best thing that could have happened to me.
Okay.
To force me to go to a new state. Now, don't tell my family that, my kids that, at ages of 13, you know, 16, 13, and 10 at the time. But I got to learn a new state, two new school districts, you know, new colleagues. I got to work with boards of education. I got to take what Madison instilled in me and test it out and learn more in other new places. I've grown tremendously since that time.
So, yeah, so before Madison, then, you know, all this Madison teaching experience, academic leadership, administrative, and then you go to St. Paul, and you're the superintendent of the St. Paul schools, which is a huge school district. Yeah. I mean, district is, when we're talking about these big urban schools, district feels like a word that isn't really encompassing of how big. I mean, St. Paul, how many students was that?
36,000.
Okay.
When I was there, 70 campuses.
Wow.
And choices, regional and citywide transportation. So it really is a district that tries to serve everyone everywhere, no matter where, you live.
Yeah. It's funny you say about the moving, so when you went up to St. Paul, then I left Pennsylvania with an eighth grader and a fifth grader and brought them to Wisconsin. And yeah, they were convinced that it was the worst thing a father and mother could ever do to their kids.
Yeah. So. I think it's worked out. Our kids are, my wife Mary and I came back. She just moved last week, but our three kids, now 27, 24, 21, have all stayed and settled in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
For now, that's home
for
them.
They found that to be home for them.
They did. And
yeah.
So I'm proud of that. I really am.
Yeah. Well, okay. So Joe, right now what's happening is the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit in Madison these next 2 days. And got to start the interview off by letting you know that Jess and I were there today. We met some Madison teachers, and we had one teacher who absolutely, we introduced ourselves as Jess and Tim, Busted Pencils. You know, we're going to be on the radio tonight. We're going to be interviewing Dr. Joe Gothard. He goes, I'm a Madison school teacher. He sent an incredibly awesome email this morning. And we were like, well, it was just an email. He goes, no. He goes, he's like, Tim, Jess, you don't understand. This hasn't happened to me. And this is somebody who said he's been teaching in Madison School District since 2001. So whether you know it or not, that email that you sent out to the Madison community communicated to these teachers that there's something different with Dr. Joe Gothard. Is that true?
Well, that's great. And first, I have to give credit to our communications director, Adele Fiedler, and her team, and also Deputy Superintendent Dr. T.J. McCray. They have given me lots of excellent counsel on the best way to communicate with our stakeholders. You know, for my interview on my entry into the district, I think those around me, it's very apparent that the way that I engage might be a little bit different, but it's who I am. Mm. And I think advice I'd give to any leader going into a position, whether it's a promotion or a new city or a new district, is you have to be yourself. And, you know, part of my test in coming back to Madison is, would I be allowed to be who I am and be successful here? And it's great to hear that kind of feedback, but I'll say that an email with promises or declarations, there also has to be follow through. There has to be follow up. There has to be some accountability. I know we don't always love that word, but it's something I take very seriously.
Well, and I think too, you and I know each other. I know your definition of accountability. We've talked about this when I first interviewed you when you were superintendent at St. Paul. You were not talking about the accountability of making people in trouble. You're really saying it's like people have jobs to do and we're going to hold people to the fact they've got a job description. There's an accountability. Yeah. We think what has happened in the word accountability from a public school standpoint has really taken on its own kind of, I'd say a negative connotation because it really means punishment. And I know when you hear teachers and parents and students say it's like the accountability, which is a lot of them have put that into test and punish. Yeah. You know, so the old test and punish.
So maybe another way to say it, if you're going to say what you do, do what you say.
There you go. Back it up with what you're going to say. So what you sent, though, today was your entry framework. Right. An entry framework. Mm-hmm. So this isn't the, you know, look at this. This, in fact, this is a 90-day kind of strategic framework. What is an entry framework? I got to know because I've never heard of an entry. I've heard of strategic frameworks, yeah. Strategic design and all that, but an entry framework.
Entry plan, entry framework is a way that you can tell the community what they can expect from you as you're arriving new to a school district in a new position, in my case. And I thought it was important that our students, our staff, our families, our community partners could gauge exactly what I plan to accomplish during, you know, these first 90 days. My framework is guided by the principles of people, purpose, and pride. I can talk more about that as we continue this conversation. But I can't illustrate enough the importance of that people aspect of this entry framework. I will not be successful alone, and I certainly will not be successful without people understanding each other, understanding me, and how we can work together.
Well, so then actually the email, you're a communicator. You're going for relationship person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest tonight, Dr. Joe Gothard, the new superintendent, Madison Metropolitan School District. We're talking to him tonight. If you want to give us a call, 855-752-4842 is the number. Say, you know, if Dr. Gothard said, if you have questions, give us a call. We'll take some of the questions. I got lots of questions here lined up that I'm going to continue to ask you, Joe, as we move into this. We're coming up on that first break. But yeah, give us a call. 855-752-4842 is the number. Our guest, the new, and new probably isn't the true, but this is going to be your first year as the acting superintendent for Madison Metropolitan School District. You know, hopes, dreams, visions, those are all the things that we want to know about. So the fact that you, today, an email communicated to at least a few teachers, like, Joe is serious about this communication thing. Got some more questions. Busted Pencils. Stay tuned for more.
To 93.5, The Tap.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Truly tonight, Dr. Joe Gothard, talk about an educated educator talking education. Dr. Joe Gothard, so glad to have you on Busted Pencils. Anybody just tuning in? Yeah, Dr. Joe Gothard is the new superintendent, Madison Metropolitan School District. He is here at the State Street Studio in Madison. So if you're walking by, you can wave to us. We'll say hi to you. We appreciate that. But we're asking questions. And so, Joe, you, just the whole entry, at least to some teachers today, just sending an email, they really felt that, like, wow, this is uniquely different. You're a communicator relationships person. As you're coming in, though, question, I mean, what is your vision? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? You know, how do you approach something like a task as being the superintendent of your home, your alma mater?
Right. Well, first, I've done this a couple of times now, so it's the third time that I've been able to apply somewhat of an entry to a new district. And I have to say new coming back to Madison, because I've been very clear to staff around me and our Board of Education that I do understand some of the past here. My job now is to really embrace who we are right now, learn and understand, but then most importantly, to enact that into who we want to be in the future. And that's centered on kids, families, community, you know, people who are interested and invested in MMSD. And I think to do that, again, the three words that I've been using, staff out there listening know these words by now, and if not, they will soon. But people, purpose, and pride. I mean, this work is about people.
Yeah.
And it has to start there. I mean, I've never been in a successful classroom where students aren't connected to each other, connected to the staff with them. And that's the same whether it's a hallway or a ball field playing playing on a team. Those connections are really important. And I have to model that. I have to be about those connections as well. Purpose, we exist for students to succeed. We exist for students to dream about a future, and then we support them to create the opportunities for that. And finally, pride. I love Madison.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do. And when this job became open, my wife and I last summer came to Madison without telling anyone, stayed downtown, and we spent the weekend doing everything we love in Madison. And on that drive home, it was pretty clear that I was going to apply for the position. Of course, I didn't tell anyone other than her.
Yeah.
But it was the right time. It was the right time to come back and really take what I've learned over 11 years of being a superintendent and apply that to a place that I was born and raised and love.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, as you said, you know, the history I had here, I was the dean of the School of Education at Edgewood College in 2013. So, you know, there you've got some hopes and dreams of the people of Madison that potentially say, like, you know, we've heard a lot of leaders come in and say how they're going to make things different, make things better. Is that a challenge for you? Is that challenge accepted? Or is that going, no, Tim, I know there are some serious expectations. And in fact, maybe there's been some history where children and families and teachers maybe weren't served in the best way. How do you, you know, give your sense of that history?
It's definitely challenge accepted. But I will also, you know, I want to take a collective responsibility for this. I think we get into trouble when we do a graphic analysis of schools or classrooms and we look at who's successful and who isn't. I think that's a real disservice to the people who are making up, you know, this important work that we do. So we have to look for themes and ways that we can support one another to address some of the areas that we need to obviously improve in. You know, I think that, you know, as a kid growing up on the East Side, never, ever seeing myself in this position, it's one that I will not take for granted. There are so many community leaders and people who I get to meet with and know well who are also going to be there. So I know I'm not alone in this work, and that can be very empowering. And I think leaders can get into trouble sometimes when they're not vulnerable to the point of sharing either where they're struggling, where they don't have an idea, or where they need, you know, some of the help that's necessary to be successful.
Our guest is Dr. Joe Gothard. He is the Madison Metropolitan School District new leader, superintendent, talking to him hopes and dreams, visions for the school district, the kids, the teachers, the community. Again, born and raised here, coming home. This is a homecoming for Dr. Gothard. If you want to join the show, give us a call. You know, the number is 855-752-4842. You can call in, ask Dr. Gothard your question, 855-752-4842. Challenge accepted. Now, point out one of the challenge here has been, though, you've pointed this out, opportunity gaps. There have been populations of students who have not been served well. And you'll be the first to admit that.
Absolutely.
So what's Dr. Joe going to do that's different?
So a few things I should have mentioned at the previous question, but one of the challenges in the community right now is that there are models of population indices for Madison-Dane County right now that say by 2050, this community is going to grow by 100,000 people. And that's Madison and just right adjacent to Madison. And with that is an incredible opportunity for us to innovate and to be innovative. And I do not want to wait 25 years to say, I wish we would have been innovative with that approach. I think there are incredible demands for what public education needs are, what families desire, what students desire in a rapidly changing world. To me, it's the perfect time to say, you know what? We can hold on to what we've done in the past, but we also have to embrace the opportunity to transform it, to change it, and to make sure that it's relevant and meaningful for who our kids are today, and more importantly, who they want to become, who they may have the potential to become in the future.
But yeah, I think there's maybe a parent or a student out there saying, yeah, but that's great, Dr. Gothard, but I mean, tell me how's it going to be better for an English language learning student and an immigrant family that's here? I mean, What are you going to do that's different?
In 2020, this community, thank you community, supported a $320 million referendum. The four comprehensive high schools have all received incredible makeovers. And in those spaces are now places where applied learning can take place across the curriculum. And I think it's an opportunity for us to look at exactly what classes we're offering, how we can support students in accessing some of these modernized 21st century learning facilities, and bring a spark to learning for all students that perhaps wasn't always there. Mm. And language is really important. You're right. And of course, in St. Paul Public Schools,
this is not new coming into Madison. So your time in St. Paul was a very diverse population of students, parents, teachers.
And for me, a gift. I mean, you get to understand how culture impacts learning, how language impacts learning. And to me, it's a wonderful way to build, you know, a global school district, a global society for children to thrive in.
It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. Our guest tonight, the new superintendent of Madison Metropolitan School District, Dr. Joe Gothard. We're here, you know, sharing some questions, some visions, some dreams, some excitements. And yeah, we're going to ask some harder questions. In fact, Dr. Gothard, when we come back, you know, kind of phrases, in fact, stay tuned, because I'm going to give you this question and you can think about it, Dr. Gothard. Academic achievement and equity, are they complementary or are they in conflict? I'm going to have Dr. Gothard answer that question. Stay tuned.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Okay, both of you, I need you to actually talk a little bit louder.
Civic Media News.
So, Tim,
I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Used to your own microphone.
These are unidirectional, so you need to be talking
people in Wisconsin
right into
have come
it,
down
so along with
cough.
You.
Public
or talk significantly louder.
Sentinel,
Joe, I know it can be really disorienting to hear yourself.
Most infections have been in teenagers.
You can't hear yourself at
all. 9 cases are in babies less than a year old. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting a funding boost. About $1.3 million in grants are going to areas along the Great Lakes. In Gibraltar, the money will go to recreation trails, which will also protect local water and wildlife.
If the swamps aren't, you know, protected and maintained properly, I mean, that's the filters of the earth before the water gets out to the lake. So I think it's pretty important we protect those filters.
Steve Soans is the Gibraltar town chairman. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Officials say the Eau Claire Regis Campus Gymnasium project is just about finished and should be ready for use at the start of the new school year. According to a WEAU report, the $1.3 million project is entirely donor-funded in an effort to add new bleachers, scoreboards, air conditioning, and a fresh paint job. The gymnasium was about 70 years old when renovations got underway, and officials say they're excited to provide students with modernized facilities for both athletic teams and physical education classes. Eau Claire officials are reminding area property owners that their final 2023 real estate taxes are due by Wednesday. According to a press release, payment can be made in person, by mail, online, or in a drop box outside the main doors of the courthouse on Oxford Avenue. Late payments will be subjected to a 1% interest fee and a 0.5% of penalty fees for each month they're late, retroactive to February 1st, 2022. There will also be an extra fee for taking advantage of one of the electronic payment options. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, I guess you could say the summer box office is no longer slumping. History was made this past weekend as Deadpool and Wolverine raked in $211 million at the gate domestically and $444 million worldwide. Just think, if I had gone to see Deadpool as planned, you could have tacked on another $12. The third installment in the Deadpool franchise shattered a record for an R-rated movie opening. It's the fourth richest opening weekend for a superhero film in history and the biggest since Spider-Man No Way Home, which took in a ridiculous $260 million opening weekend with a more tame rating. Another milestone was achieved when last weekend's take pushed Marvel's Cinematic Universe movies past the $30 billion mark in worldwide ticket sales, making it the top-grossing franchise in history, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Rounding out the top five were Twisters in week number two with a $36 million haul, Despicable Me 4 Inside Out 2 has shown incredible staying power, coming in fourth, and surprise hit Longlegs came in fifth. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with maybe a stray storm or two. Lows upper 60s to 70. Mainly sunny tomorrow, a pop-up storm in the afternoon and evening. Hot and humid with a high in the upper 80s to 90. More storms, heat, and humidity for Thursday. Currently, it's 87.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll go live to the Wisconsin Public Education Network's annual Summer Summit gathering of speakers and panelists.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Thank you.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. Live from the Civic Media headquarters on State Street in Madison. Our guest, Dr. Joe Gothard, the new superintendent for Madison Metropolitan School District, has been talking to us now for the first half hour. Dr. Gothard, so I asked the question, equity, academic achievement, are those complementary terms or are they in conflict? And I'll give you a, you know, yes, no conflict, but tell me a little bit about what you, when you hear academic achievement and then you hear equity, what's that mean for Dr. Joe Gothard as the leader of Madison Metropolitan School District?
Well, I thought about answering by saying yes.
Okay.
And then I thought about saying they can be. I think that, you know, it's interesting because as a decision maker, as a leader, if you go out and talk to families, students, community about what they want in their schools, you might hear something that is in direct conflict of what research might say around equity, around how you serve students. And so there's this conflict of, do you listen to the people or do you listen to the research? Do you listen to the history on segregation, for example? You know, in St. Paul, we created an East African elementary magnet school because our families were telling us they did not feel seen, heard, and valued in our school, and therefore they were leaving.
Right.
So we created a school. Now, that school's open to anyone, but as you can imagine, it's you know, highly enrolled Somali students and other East African representation there. And, you know, they are still going to follow the same curriculum. Of course, they're going to have language and culture part of their social studies and integrated in the rest of their school day. But I think you can accomplish both. If students feel seen, heard, and valued, if students feel safe, if students see staff who look like them, to me, that is addressing equity. And by doing so, you can also have high achievement possible in ways that it may not be in other spaces.
Yeah. And I ask this question now because it has been, you know, particularly in the last 3 to 4 years, the what I would say, you know, the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, as if for some reason that those goals aren't worthy anymore. And you hear people going, you know, schools, it's about academic achievement. And typically when you hear that question, it's like, wait, so you're talking about test scores, right? Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, the test scores show that certain kids aren't achieving. Like, well, most of us know that, right? But there's, to me, I get concerned because I feel a renewed emphasis on saying, actually, if we're not addressing academic achievement, we need to not address diversity, equity, and inclusion because those do exclude somehow a commitment to academic achievement. So that's why I was kind of asking that question. Is it equity? Is it inclusion? Is it academic achievement? And you said, yes. The answer is, the real answer is, it's all of them.
It is. You know, in February 2018, a group of student advocates on our Board of Education challenged the board and administration with creating an ethnic studies class, but part two was making it a graduation requirement. Mm-hmm. And of course, the pandemic got in the way, but we fulfilled that in 2020. And, you know, I'm sorry, 2021. So it became a requirement. And, you know, I think for the most part, it has been a good gauge in terms of what does equity and achievement mean side by side. Of course, you have students who are flourishing in it and really enjoy it. Others can't quite figure it out. But I think it's been important for the community to come together to understand underrepresented histories in their learning.
Well, can you say, because if we're going to actually talk about academic achievement gaps, of which we say there are, we have to actually figure out why we have them, right? And I think this is, you know, I felt like in pre-2020, we were making lots of inroads at helping people understand that if you're going to be concerned, if you are for some reason only concerned about test scores, well, if you want to see them go up, we've got to address historic systemic inequities.
Right. And I think one thing that you and your listeners should know is that I was in a community where it's quite the opposite of there being any kind of divide. It was, you're not doing enough. There was always that weight on my shoulder of, are you seeing, are you hearing? Are you following through with what our communities need, our diverse communities need? So quite different from, you know, a lot of my colleagues, certainly around the country, but also, you know, right in the metro of Minnesota. You know, I 9 miles from my house is where George Floyd was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't open your eyes to what equity means in an institution of learning for pre-K through 12th grade students, it was a really difficult and challenging time for us to recalibrate and understand what does equity mean.
Yeah, you were there. I forgot. I mean, what was it like being a school leader of a large metropolitan school district during that time?
We had come off a five-day teacher strike and went right into distance learning for the pandemic. George Floyd was murdered. Our 31-year-old board chair, Marnie Zhang, just an incredible Hmong woman, died of COVID all within the first 2.5 months of that stretch from March, March on in 2020. So it was, you know, to have a time where as a school leader, as a member of a school community, we were all, you know, in distance learning or, you know, not allowed to come together. It was challenging. The first thing you want to do is convene with people for comfort, for understanding. And it just wasn't possible
at
that time. So it made it extra challenging. And of course, our community was, there was anger in the streets as well. Not quite as extensive as Minneapolis, but, you know, right there adjacent to the river, here our community was also struggling.
Man, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. What's that? That's that, Jess.
True as the bell rings.
Oh, it is.
You know what time it is, Tim.
I do know what time it is, Jess. Democracy in action time. Take it away, Jess.
Today on Busted Pencils, the democracy in action value that we are highlighting is justice. The concept that all people should be treated fairly and equally, regardless of where they come from and who they are. This is a value that we try to highlight every day on Busted Pencils. And Dr. Gothard, you are presenting this so clearly for us right now. And I have to tell you, we were at the Wisconsin Public Education Network's annual summit warm-up day, I suppose. And I asked everyone, what do you believe is the purpose of public education? And about 90% of them said it had to do with justice. What we are doing here, this is democracy in action. This is exemplifying the value of justice.
Wow. Mm. Dr. Gothard, so actually you are our democracy in action candidate. So you didn't know that. You're like, hey, we sprung that on you. But yeah, justice, right? You know, it's like back to that moment too in the George Floyd, and you said, you know, and then what came after that, the advocacy around saying this can't stand, this can't happen. And in fact, at the conference today, we saw a little bit of a timeline and saying, you know, in fact, the activism around equity, discrimination, right? Like we have to get after these things. And now though, too, to realize that actually there's now been a counterattack back on that movement that is actually kind of framed going, you know, being an advocate for justice, being an advocate for equity, for being an advocate for diversity and inclusion is somehow a problem. And I knew that, you know, from the time we met, you know, 10 years ago and then our interview first, that you were a diversity, equity, and inclusion, justice, academic achievement guy. So I was wondering about this coming into, you know, does the new political framing around DEI, do you feel that challenging? Do you feel the need to tone back potentially commitments to diversity, equity, inclusion? You know, again, I'm kind of asking the same question I did, but if you just continue to help me make more sense of that.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think so. And again, it's really important too when you're considering taking a new job at this level, understand your Board of Education and what they are looking for, what they want to support as well. And I think our 7 board members right now will tell you quite the opposite is true, that that we really have to look for ways to make sure that what we're doing is equitable, that it is serving through a justice lens. And our students want the same thing. You know, I'll share with you some of the most powerful experiences I've had in the last 7 years have been with students at some of the most difficult times. You know, I kind of took on a really difficult middle school. Was hearing from staff that it was unsafe. You know, we didn't want to be here. We need more support. So I just started showing up at the school. And after about the 4th visit, I told the principal, I want to start a group here. And I don't want you to pick the students who you might think I want to see. See the students running in the halls. Mm. See the students that aren't on task. That's who I want to meet with. And I learned so much through working with this group of young Black men, young Black boys, I should say, 11, 12, 13 years old, that it changed my perspective on how I want to lead and how I want to center youth voice in the work that I do. I think many times we see behavior as the many ways that students don't want to engage or don't care about learning, and the opposite is quite true. We just haven't sat down and found the environment where a student feels like they can be comfortable with who they are, whether they're homeless, whether they, you know, may not have a nuclear family like so many of our families do. These are all burdens that our children bring to school each day. And I think to have somebody in a suit, sit down with them, really listen and follow up and follow through and be consistent in their lives. To me, it was, you know, again, not talking about me, but the practice of equity. I've tried really hard to break out of the norms of the superintendent and practice in a way that can be influential to the way that I lead and hopefully help others understand too.
So this then, it's reminding me of going back to the email you sent today that again was just seen as such a wonderful thing. You point a comment here about going throughout this school year, I encourage all of you to continue to ask, how are the children? Yeah. This is what we're talking about.
100%. And I think we often forget that. We really do. And it's taken some really dark times, I should say, for me to understand how important that is. And what I often find is that when things aren't going so well, or when there's a really challenging situation in the community or the school, that many times the students are the last voice we go to ask them, how are you? Mm. You know, how is this impacting you? And what I found by flipping that a little bit is that many times you get perspectives that are vastly different. And that is not saying that staff or families or community are wrong or right. It's just saying that you have to, I feel like I have to, and I'm compelled to make sure that decisions I'm making, people I'm trying to influence, it has to be guided in what I'm hearing from our students as well. So it's something I want to be very intentional about here in Madison.
I mean, the whole idea, how are the children? Because you think it's like, well, you're in schools. Of course we ask that question. A lot of times it seems like that question is secondary.
And Tim, here's the thing. I mean, our schools are set up this way. Our students are pushed through the mold of school, and unfortunately they're forced to conform. And many times they shed who they are, whether it's their race, identity, language, culture, how they were raised, how they feel about where they are as an academic achiever. And I just think that it's unfortunate that that's what public schools in many places have become. And we just have to do better in understanding individual students and making sure that our decisions are reflecting each individual.
What you just said, if my co-host, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, was here right now, he would have really gone in for that question, because you kind of laid out, he goes, Tim, you know, we are so good at teaching people how to do school. Yeah. And we forget that actually maybe school sometimes is the problem, and that we're helping people fit a mold that is unnatural. Yeah. When it comes to be successful in school, may not have really anything to be successful in life.
And Tim, I don't want you to get me in trouble. It's not school people are the problem. No. It's the system of school.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still talking about credits, hours, time served. I mean, we learned during the pandemic, right? Let's not talk about, you know, how good or bad that was, but we did learn that many students felt self-determination and self-guidance was a way that was better for their own mental health. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that that led to great breakthroughs, but it was at least a peek into another way for some students, that the way that we look at the rigidity of our schedules and our routines, mm-hmm. that maybe they're not always the best.
No, I remember that too. Yeah, we had lots of people calling in and going, hey, some of my students who are now participating and they never participated before. Our guest is Dr. Joe Gothard, Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk. He is the new superintendent of Madison Metropolitan Schools. 855-752-4842 is the number. Last chance to give Dr. Gothard a call. More when we come back.
You're You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a couple thoughts about cryptocurrency. And I'm going to say right up front that I am married to a man who has a little bit of cryptocurrency, so I know there are some smart and very handsome folks in that space, and that money can be made in it. Now with that out of the way, I'm going to quote Michelle Singletary, who's the Washington Post money columnist, and she recently said, "Investing in crypto is highly speculative and inappropriate for most everyday investors." I think she nailed it for those of us who don't work in the money trading business. People who got in early, at least some of them, have done okay. And even when you hear about record highs for Bitcoin or Ether, just know that there are plenty more epic plummets that might not be making your feed. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Man, I hear that. Seven Dust guitars coming in like that. I was like, really? We're really at this point in time already? Jess, how did this happen?
No, the time just melts.
Oh, my
like
goodness.
I was today. Goodness.
Yeah. Our guest, Dr. Joe Gothard, he is the new superintendent, Madison Metropolitan School District. He is here in the Civic Media Studios on State Street in Madison, busting pencils, as we like to say, you know, talking about this. And Joe, in fact, so here's, you know, I was just telling you during the break, you know, one of the things, and I really appreciate you coming on to talk right here, because I think one of the issues that public schools, particularly advocates of public schools, advocates of equity, is that we don't get the opportunity to hear this type of conversation in the media. You know, which has always been the goal of Busted Pencils, is to say, you know, I say, not to make fun of great bulletin boards, because there are really good bulletin boards and there are really bad bulletin boards. But this isn't a show where we're talking about teacher hints, you know, how to we're really trying to have a conversation about democracy and looking at this. And so we typically, Joe, every night try to remind people that if you're a public education supporter, then you're a democracy supporter, and that without public education, democracy's in trouble. How does that land on you?
It's a deep responsibility, but it's also, I can't think of anything that brings me more purpose as well. You know, I get to come back to the city that I grew up in and enter into schools and see amazing staff, many of which are my former students, by the way. It's been such a treat to connect with them. But more importantly, I get to learn and ask, what's on your mind? How can I support you? I want you to be great. Your success matters to me, mm-hmm. whether it's a student or a staff, first-year staff or a veteran staff. I want them to feel supported, seen, heard, and valued by their superintendent.
Wow. So how do you address that then, too, which sounds like a very individual message in a huge metropolitan urban school district? How do you get this relationship that sounds like is so important to you, that potential one-on-one? How's that going to work for you in this big district?
It's hard. I do have a lot of people protecting my time, which, you know, I get. And we have an important referendum coming up in November, too. So a lot of my outreach engagement has been pretty scripted right now.
Okay.
In terms of the work that we're doing. But I will say that it is not uncommon for me to show up at schools and without a, you know, camera crew or anything, and just ask staff, what's on your mind?
Yeah.
You know, at a voluntary meeting. And, you know, I can share with you that there have been things that I've heard in meetings like that where I've been able to go back to the district office and make immediate change.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. And certainly didn't know how it was impacting how a decision or how a policy was impacting, you know, a staff member in a school. Mm-hmm. And my job is to remove barriers. The definition of equity, remove barriers.
Nice. All right. So here's a question. You know this as well as I do. Teachers, we have a teacher shortage. you know, in whether it's here in Wisconsin, whether it's here in Madison, whether it was in St. Paul, the whole idea, we can't get people to go into teaching. We can't get teachers to stay in the classroom. What do you say to the teachers now in Madison School District that are saying, you know, Tim, in fact, we know that those are our number one listeners, and they call in and go like, I don't think I can do this job anymore. Wonder how that whole recognition of going like, teachers are feeling like they're the last people seen in these days. How does Dr. Joe Gothard address the teacher who's saying, what are you going to do for me?
Yeah, it's hard work. And I'll tell you a few ways I've done it that I've learned a lot, right? Self-awareness is a big practice of mine that I'm trying to always be better at. So I've come out and I've been the cheerleader before, you know, where you're just sending out positive messages, affirmations. But then I got back an email saying, you know, you are using toxic positivity towards us. And I'd never heard that term.
Yeah.
I Googled it, of course, and learned that, yeah, there's a psychological impact of toxic positivity.
Right.
It's made me think a lot about being real.
Yeah.
And being authentic is very different than being at least perceived to kind of being Pollyannish and just kind of disregarding the truth or what's really happening.
I was going to say, it sounds, you know, what we hear in the mental health field is that, I mean, the last thing a person suffering from anxiety and depression is to see, like, look what happens when I think positively. It's like, that doesn't help me.
Yeah.
In fact, it may even make me feel worse.
But think about this. As a leader, I didn't take that as somebody who was saying something bad about me. I took it as a chance to learn and to grow. I took it as a chance to say, what does this mean? And they're right. You know, I need to think of different ways to communicate.
Yeah, because I appreciate you as my leader being all positive, Dr. Joe. But, you know, as a fifth grade classroom teacher here right now, I've got students who are coming into school. They haven't eaten. Some of them are homeless. The parents are participating as much as they can. I don't have enough time in the day to do this. And now I keep hearing on news that everybody hates teachers. Right. You know, so your positivity, sorry.
That's right.
Ain't helping.
And we're at, you know, we're at about 220 staff, all classifications across the district short right now, about 100 teachers still, various spread out. And one way you can help is that tomorrow we have a job fair at the Holtzman Learning Center, 3:30 to 7:30. And we'll have our HR staff there mobile. We'll be offering contracts people can walk away with a job if they have the right qualifications and we deem it's a good match.
Well, you went exactly where I was going to go. So as we're, you know, kind of closing up here, where should people go? Should they contact you? How do they know about what's happening?
MMSD.org. You know, our website is great. Yes, it can be a little difficult to navigate at times. We have a lot of information. But again, the Holtzman Learning Center, there's an MMSD job fair. You should be able to find a button right on our website. Mm-hmm. But all are welcome. We'd prefer or appreciate if people would RSVP in some ways, just so we can be sure that we have a contact. But we will also accept walk-ins.
It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Our guest, Dr. Joe Gothard. Dr. Joe Gothard, thank you so much for Busting Pencils.
Yeah, you're welcome. I was shocked to hear from you, and you were in town, and this worked out great. And let me just say to any Madison Metropolitan School District staff, teachers, parents that are listening, I can't wait to continue to work with you. And I'm just grateful for your commitment and engagement in making this the best school district in the state of Wisconsin. Thank you.
Man, love that. I tell you what you should do now, though, is head over to the Minocqua Brewing Room on East, you know, out by East High School, because they're a sponsor of Busted Pencils and they do incredibly awesome progressive beer and they're a huge supporter of public schools. Dr. Joe Gothard, again, thanks for Busting Pencils. See y'all tomorrow night.
The Tap. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Wednesday to a very special Devil's Advocates. We'll have heretics for Harris. We'll have Satanists for Harris. We'll have white dudes for Harris. Vote for Harris.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.